listening to Retakes Podcast, your personally hand-picked self-help section for industry animators. I am your host, Danny Abram, and I'm an animator in the UK, working in children's TV, feature films, and indie projects, and I'm here to share with you the hows, the whys, and the actions we can all take to make it in this crazy industry. Everybody, welcome back to another week of Retakes Podcast. Happy Monday. Oh, how are you? So sorry about missing last week. I have always had it in mind that this podcast would be a majoritively positive one. And if I was ever feeling a little bit flat, I wouldn't put the pressure on myself to record anything. And that has been a theme running through all the episodes I've recorded so far. Because I just don't think that's very easy or enjoyable or fun to listen to when I have listened to other podcasts where the podcaster has like not been in the mood maybe. I've always felt like somewhat cheated. I mean, and that is allowing for the fluctuation of human mood, obviously. Like, not everyone is chronically happy. Tick. I can tick that box for sure. And I don't like listening to chronically happy people either, but I just didn't want to record something where I really wasn't in the mood. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel what this is about. And there might have been a slight reason for it, and I have been thinking on it all week, obviously, as I am wont to do. So I just decided to take that week off and not record anything and not put anything out and just see what happened and see if anything came to me in the meantime, which it did. Obviously, I was thinking about it. And what I wanted to talk about today and ask you to maybe notice or something that we can all chat about is cycles. And I don't mean animation cycles. So I might have used that word like somewhat on purpose because, you know, animation cycles, walk cycles, run cycles, idle cycles. Are we not all really an idle cycle? But I was meaning it in the way that, like, I definitely feel I am constantly on some sort of cycle. And there are big cycles that I've noticed, like, I can look back over my career and notice a pattern, and that might be cyclical. And obviously the whole world is built upon a cycle. And I was reading a book the other day called Do Nothing by Kate Northrup, if you're interested to look that up. And it is literally about human cycles. And the book is about using it in order to do less and achieve the same, if not more, by noticing your cycles and succumbing to them. Now, just caveat here. I kind of want to talk about hormones. And I want to talk about hormones in a male and female way. Now, if that is not something that you want to listen to or agree with, no worries. Tap out. I maybe see you next week. It might not make sense to you. And I really don't want this. And I don't want to offend anybody or upset anybody or make somebody feel like they're not not included and they're not seen by me in any way, because I would hate that. But there are some differences that are alluded to in this book, Do Less by Kate Northrup, and I really want to talk about this book, and because of that I really wanted to kind of talk about hormonal differences. So if that's not something you want to listen to, I love you. Tap out now, I'll see you next time. No worries. So the premise of this book was basically about like how the whole world is sort of built on like a very masculine system. Like, the what I mean by that is the capitalist system. So everything that we work towards, like almost every industry and every facet of human life is dictated by this like setup of you go to work, you go to sleep, you wake up, you do it again, and you do that for as long as possible until you retire or die. Sorry to put it in like such bleak terms. I'm pretty sure she doesn't describe it like that in the book, but that's what I took from it. And it was this like capitalist system of this like like birth, learning, work, death, and we're all sort of trapped in this system. And that system was introduced in human society, like from the Industrial Revolution and like the advent of the light bulb and like dictating our working hours. And this system was sort of built on the fact that a human being could repeat the same action every single day, time and time again. So the workers could work every day. Now, I know there are weekends built into that. That is like a pitiful, excuse for a human rest, if you ask me. Like, oh my gosh, I wish weekends were 3 days long. Do you? But what I'm trying to get to is that like this, the system that is exactly the same every day. And that is easier if you are set up the same every single day. And there is a human system that is the same every single day. And that is the testosterone hormonal cycle. And the other side of that is the, I don't want to say female human cycle, but the, how can I word this? The feminine hormonal cycle, which involves estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. And the cycle that is on a monthly basis. So we have this capitalist system that's set up that is based on one hormone and that being the same every day and being able to repeat those actions. But I feel, as a person with a feminine hormone cycle, progesterone, estrogen, etc., that I am not the same every day in that month. There are periods in that month where my testosterone climbs and then drops off, and around that is estrogen and progesterone also climbing and dropping off at different moments, and then that will be reset, and then I'm on that cycle again for the next 29 days. Sorry if I sound really nervous talking about this. It's because I'm not a scientist and I am trying to just just tell you what this book is about. Like, do read it if you want to, because it's really illuminating and it spoke to me. Like, it resonated with me because I have always felt this weird, like, why can I not do things? Why do I not feel the same way every day? Why do I have to be sad now? What is going on? Why have I no energy? And it's taken, well, I am 38 now, and how long have I had periods? like a long time. It has taken me a long time to recognize the fact that, like, there are differences over my month, and, shock, fact, that repeats every month. And it's taken ages to spot that pattern. Even now, like, I've started tracking my cycle within an inch of its life to see what's going on. And so now I have this, like, amazing overview of where and when I can do certain actions, and I kind of know how I'm going to feel using that information. It's blown my mind. So as my testosterone is climbing after my period, I am able to do things. I am able to do take on massive tasks. I'm faster at work. I have clarity of mind and thought. It is where I am. Pretty much the happiest in my month. And I am talking from a really personal point of view. I can only talk about like my mood and my cycle. And it would be really cool if like you were resonating with this in any way, or you've never given this any thought, or you're thinking, oh my God, that sounds like me. Then starting to track your cycle can really give you those clues as to what's actually going on. Sometimes I have the shittest week at work and I can't animate for toffee. And I am getting notes back that I would never ever get usually, or I feel like I should not ever get usually. Silly mistakes, slips, sloppy work, that kind of thing. And guess what? When I start tracking this performance, that is usually timed pretty well with like PMS or the week before my period, just at the end of my cycle. So I can start to recognize that and just let myself off the hook a little bit. Like, instead of being like, why am I so dumb this week? I can be like, oh, okay, cool. There's quite a few things going on for me hormonally right now. I don't have the energy. I am busy. I'm not going to say what I'm busy with. I am busy shedding my womb. No. I am busy shedding my womb lining. I'm busy readying for the shedding of my womb lining. But why not say you're busy though? Like, there is a massive process going on that I have to just work through every month. Okay, cool. That's fine, but like, allow me to recognize it and allow me to work with it. I wish the system had this ebb and flow that I seem to be on that I could match with it. Now, at the start of my cycle, which is after my period, or I think it's actually the start of the first day of your period, and then that's when your start cycle resets. That is when I figured out that I can book my big kayaking sessions. Like, if I'm going to need my body to do something crazy, or if I'm going to have to push myself or use that energy and feel good about it and have less anxiety, it is usually that first 2 week spot. And I've tested this out this year, and I have really, really hung on to this theory that this is when I am going to be my best. And it seems to be really working out for me. That is when I will find whitewater kayaking the easiest. That's when I will find I work faster at work and I have brilliant ideas, or I enjoy it more. And then there's like a swap over of hormones at the middle point, and then toward like coming off the tail end of that cycle, then things start to slow down. It's like the way she describes it in the book is like the spring and summer, and then the autumn and winter, and those final 2 weeks are sort of like you going into autumn and winter and shutting down, and everything's reaped and sowed, and you're going into your winter and you need to rest and sleep and take it a bit easier, or do like regenerative things, like things that will give you energy rather than take it because you don't currently have it as much. I don't know. Like, I'm not an expert, but I am feeling like this is really helping me. And it helps to know this as a freelancer, and it helps to know this as like an employee at a studio. Like, I definitely make more animation mistakes in my winter, in my winter and my autumn, and I've given myself so much shit for that over the time, or like over the years. And there was no need, because now I can just recognize that and be like, right, okay, fine. Like, that's what we're working with. I allow myself 5% stupid mistakes, with no internal arguing. Like, just okay, fine. It is what it is. And I can not kayak or not take on any extra duties or responsibilities or anything silly or nothing that will put me in like, well, not that I would do nothing, but just recognize that if I do sign up to something like a trip or a gym class or going out for a night out or whatever, like whatever life is throwing at me, like just recognize that my anxiety might be quite high and I might struggle a little bit more around that time because of that, and to know that going in and mitigate it going in. I've also noticed that I think I'm on some sort of creative cycle as well. So I have been beating myself up lately because I just cannot focus. I cannot sit down with an idea. I cannot create and keep on creating. Like, I can't sit down and do the work. At the minute, I am in some sort of dream state. I am in the ideas phase, if you want to call it that. Like, there is something about me right now that is head in the clouds, dreaming big, wanting things, wanting more. Do you know when you like close your eyes and you're thinking of your BAFTA acceptance speech, that kind of stuff? Like, not that, because knocked that on the head in my 20s. But I'm in some sort of ideas phase. And it's really interesting because I can't seem to sit down and do the work. And this is also a little bit about why I missed the podcast last week. Like, I'm not in my do era. I seem to be in my daydreaming era. And I wonder if that's like something that you might resonate with. Like, if you're struggling with something, can you look back over the last couple of years or the last couple of months even, and just see if this is coming back around again, if there is something in it that's like pattern-like or repeatable. And so it can sort of take the fright out of it. Like, I panic when I don't feel creative. I have built my entire identity and career around being creative. Like, I usually love to be making things or have at least something on the go that I'm tinkering away on. So when I don't feel creative, I tend to panic. So if you can look back over your timeline and see those times where you might have also been in this little pit, then you know that there is a way out of that pit. Like, there is some sort of repeatable pattern maybe that you can spot, maybe what got you out of that pit last time. I'm using the word pit because my friend Johnny calls it the pit. And it's good to give it a name, because then when you're in it, you just know, okay, this is it. I'm in the pit for a bit, and soon I will be out of the pit. It's got a name. So this might tie into the yearly cycle as well. Remember, the entire system that we live in, the entire Earth, is also on a cyclical process. There is a cycle in place, and we all live in it. And we would be, I don't know, like, I feel like I would, if I didn't recognize that and think that I was a big part of that, that would be weird. Like, I live here on Earth. Earth is my home. If it has a cycle, maybe that affects me a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, there's like winter, spring, summer, autumn, the year, the calendar year, that I think is also really interesting when you look into that, because that can, there's a couple, we've had a few different systems in human history. I think I read, I don't want to, please don't take anything I say as like a rock fact, but I'm pretty sure I've got a book about the 1500s because I was super obsessed with it. And it was when the Elizabethan, like Queen Elizabeth I came into power around then. That is when we switched to the current calendar, with New Year being on the 1st of January. I think I read that the New Year used to be on the 15th of March. I think it's that, unless I am lit. Like, I mean, that's St. Patrick's Day, isn't it? We definitely had a new year at a different time of the year back in the day, and now we have it in January. Someone's just decided at some point, new year, new you, January the 1st. And it might not be based on anything that is truly natural to us. I don't know what my point is with that, but I do find that interesting. What I do love about the year is that it does come in those like quarters. So I have recently been thinking of the year in terms of, like, you know, Q1 and Q2, a little bit businessy, I know, like a little bit corporate and gross. How many times on this podcast do I say, I'm sorry if that sounds corporate? I've been reading a shitload about business because I've been thinking, girl needs to up her game. I'm a freelancer and I'm always skint. It ain't right. So I've rolled on this business course and I've been reading just so much about that. And a lot of this is obviously about, like, the yearly cycles, the fiscal year, blah, 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 blah. But we have to work to them. Like, they're happening to us anyway, so we might as well use them to our advantage. I went to a New Year's planning, like a New Year's goal planning party on January the 1st this year, and I do love that shit, by the way. I do subscribe to New Year, New You. I do every year. I love writing a list of goals and resolutions. But the... this one was about splitting it into quarters. So you have like goals for Q1 and Q2, Q3 and Q4, etc., which are just the seasons. It's just every quarter is 3 months. And so you can write down your goals over the year, not as one big scary list, but split down into those seasons so that you only have like, you have like a manageable list of goals that you can then work on and implement. But you always have like the fresh new start of the next quarter coming up. It does help me. It just shakes me out of a little funk sometimes when I think that something new is like, something's about to end and then something new will start. I like it. It might not be for you, but I quite like it. There's the financial year. My God, like, how weird is it that the financial year starts at the beginning of April? But it's something that really, really messed me up when I was trying to buy a house and not knowing about this cycle before then. It didn't really affect me in any way. It was just like, it just changed when I did my accounts, right? Like, as a freelance self-employed person, I'm aware of it, but I don't quite know what it really means for me in like real terms. But when me and Ian were trying to buy the house and we were doing our accounts and having everything assessed by a mortgage lender, suddenly it became really, really important. And I have barely any choice sometimes when I take on a contract of where in the year that kind of starts and ends, but it can really affect your overall accounts. So, for example, I worked on, I think it was actually the Puffin Rock movie. I think the Puffin Rock movie I worked on, it felt like half in one year and half in another year because of this fiscal year starting in April. And so when I was assessed on that year, it looked like I'd made, like, I didn't realize that PAYE and self-employed income wasn't quite the same amount of money. It wasn't quite the same type of money. So when we were assessed, it was like I was only getting assessed really on half of it. And boy, did that bugger my accounts up. So when you have like a big job on and half of it falls in last year and half of it falls in this year and it's across that April divide, obviously you think, sweet, I've got work for the year, but 4 months of it kind of don't count, or 3 months of it kind of don't count. It's so annoying. It's it's like all the way up until this point when I needed to know it, I did not care. And then suddenly, my God, did I care. Because it kind of halved my earnings on paper for that year. It was horrendous. I think the mortgage lenders, we actually saw a mortgage advisor and she was like, oh, maybe we can do an average of your last 3 years. And it was even worse. It was even worse because of all the different types of employment styles I was on, like in-house, an invoice here and there, some studio work, blah, 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 blah. An average of that was just terrible. It was so awful. So what me and Ian had to end up doing was like parking, buying a house for a whole year while we sort of completely focused all our earning power into one financial year. So between April and March. Oh boy, that was hard. And it was really hard to hear the words like, you'll have to wait for a year, or maybe you'll have to wait for 2 years. When you want something really bad, and you get told that you're in the wrong system, sorry, like you're a bit out of sync with the cycle. So annoying. There is an even bigger cycle as well that I have noticed with me, and this is something that I was thinking about. I think I even mentioned it on one of the podcasts that we recorded with Leah. I'm not sure what we were talking about, but it seems to me, when I look back over my career, my timeline, I seem to do something drastically different. Like I will change, like do a big overhaul every 4 years, roughly. Like I don't know I'm doing it at the time. I just think I want to go over here now and off I go. Like moving to Ireland in 2019 was one of them. So that was like a part of that was really what made that drastic was I left a business and went to work in Ireland, and that was leaving my home that I'd lived in for 4 years, ding, 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 4 years, moving to a different country, starting up with an entirely new studio that I'd never worked for before, leaving Ian, who I'd also lived with we'd lived together for 4 years, and we were like, oh, it'll just be for a little while, that's animation, like, just get used to it, we have to go live in separate places for a little bit, because he got work in Manchester, and I went to Ireland. Oh my God, what a drastic change that was when I look back, because that was just before the pandemic. But the 4 years before then, I started in Cardiff that's when I started the business. That was when I was like meeting Lauren, setting up Cardiff Animation Festival, everything that came with freelancing in Cardiff, like really concentrating all my efforts into Cardiff and freelancing and doing a bit of lecturing, that kind of thing. And so that was like a period, like the 4 years before that was that sort of like the Cardiff era. I don't know quite what to call it, but it was like I'd been the previous 4 years before that. I was in Bristol and I'd done all that same stuff, but in Bristol with Bristol people and Bristol companies and Bristol uni and blah, blah, blah. It's so weird. And then 4 years before that, I think, am I getting this right? That was when I'd spent, I think, 4 years. I'm not kidding. It's always four. I spent 4 years in industry, and then suddenly, just on like a dime, I went freelance, and I hadn't done that up until that point. That might not sound like a drastic change, but it really does feel like a drastic change when that's something you're not used to, and you think, right, that's it, I'm going on government gateway, and I'm signing up as self-employed, and now I'm looking after myself, like, I'm taking the power back, studios, I'm gonna be my own boss now. That was a big change back then. I'm completely used to it, and that is just the way, like, most people enter the industry have to do that. But back then, I'd been a studio worker, and then I suddenly just went self-employed. Because, I don't know, I probably got some idea in my head that I was going to be a studio runner. Which, that's funny, because that's coming back into my head. I said I was in, like, some sort of dream phase. Can't stop dreaming about setting up my own studio again. I need to be reined in, people. I need someone to calm me down. something about that feels really intriguing, but also I have a lot of, like, I punish myself a lot for the fact that I just left Lauren to run Pickle on her own. Like, I don't know if you guys, if you don't know this, okay. If you don't know, I did set up a studio in 2018, I think. Maybe we didn't really start fully trading until, no, surely we must have, because I left for Ireland in 2019. So I think we set up the studio in 2018 together, and we had a brilliant first year. We got a TV series for a Welsh language broadcaster, which, like, for a first year is pretty good going, but it was extremely difficult. It was not what I was expecting it was going to be. It didn't make me feel like I expected it was going to make me feel. And I have a lot of shame about leaving. I have a lot of shame about a lot of things, but that is one of those ones where I had to go to counselling a little bit and talk through that, because, like, why am I giving myself such a hard time? Like, if you tried really hard at something and it didn't work out for you, then you agreed with that other person to just, one of you leaves, one of you stays, like, nothing bad, like, that wasn't the wrong thing to do. But I do have a hang up about it. So why that is suddenly coming back into my head is truly anyone's guess. It's probably just because I want to look after myself a lot. I'm just ridiculously independent, and the industry can burn you sometimes. Sometimes I don't trust it. I don't trust that it to take care of me. I trust myself more. I don't know. I'm going to put a friggin' huge pin in that, because I haven't got time for that. So I just wonder what cycles you have noticed for yourself. Like, have you ever felt like, I've been here before. I've had these thoughts before. I've wanted to do that thing before. Or have you ever looked over your career or your timeline and thought, like, every 2 years I seem to set everything on fire? Have you noticed cycles that you're in creatively? Do you have moments in the year where you're like, ooh, I'm going to start a film. Ooh, I am going to enter a film into Depict. Or, ooh, I'm going to go try for that big studio again or something. Like, does that roll round as a cycle, or is it something that you've noticed? Or do you think it's just a symptom of our industry being very stop, start, stop, start? And it helps as well to recognise what season of your life you might be in. Like, when I was buying a house, I was a full-time adult. I was like, don't talk to me, I'm working. Don't come at me unless you've got big money. I was really, like, very work focused, and I would have taken absolutely anything, even multiple jobs at the same time, because I knew that that year I really had to be earning. And I did nothing else that year. I didn't go out. I didn't make a single friend. We lived in Stafford for some reason. Don't ask. We barely went on walks. Honestly, I worked all day and all night and 7 days a week. It was sad times. The one good thing that did come out of that, though, I had my teeth fixed because I was not going anywhere. So I was like, sweet, let's get that done, because that's something I always wanted doing. So that's nice. And also, we did get the house in the end, because that year did end up pushing us into, like, being mortgageable. But the season of my life I'm in now is very fun-based. Like, that was a hard year. Like, saving up for a house and getting the house was so difficult and such a big milestone. That when that did happen for us, like, the stress bubble popped, and I thought, right, what now? I need to have some serious fun. And so then that is when kayaking came into my life, and that is what I'm seriously focusing on right now, is like, what joy can I bring? What fun can I bring into my day? So yeah, have a think about that. Like, you might find this just super weird. It might not be for you. You might try this on, keep the receipt maybe. It might not be something that, like, you can resonate with, or is something that's ever come up for you. But it is nice when you join those dots and you think, oh, okay, I'm on some sort of journey. I am not a failure. I'm thinking these weird things, but it's okay. It's happened before and it will happen again, and I will come out of it and everything will be fine. And I hope it is fine. I hope you're in your happy era right now. Yeah, so that's it for this week. That's what's on my noggin. That's what I've been thinking about, and I'll probably be thinking about that for a good while yet. Like, still lots to figure out, but I'm enjoying that process of figuring myself out a little bit more and using it to my advantage. So if this has resonated with you, let me know. It's retextpod@gmail.com and retextpod on Instagram and Twitter. I would love to hear from you. especially if you resonated. That would be great. And wherever you are right now, happy animating this week, guys. And I'll see you next week. Bye.